All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming to the Records Committee meeting. We'll try to get started here because we have a couple of presentations. I'm Trimmer Cotter. If you don't know me, I'm the chair of the Records Committee. I'm glad to see there's a pretty nice turnout here, and they gave us the biggest room, I think. So, and high expectations. Herm Krabanoff has two presentations he's going to give today. The first one is one that he was going to give at the Retro Sheet meeting, but was unable because someone forgot to book a room with a video hookup. And then the second one is one that he had planned to give all along, the batting equivalent of Johnny Vandermeer's double no-hitters. And then I, if time permits, will have a short presentation after that on triple steals. So, Herm?
Okay. First part of the doubleheader is 1909 Tigers, runs scored and runs batted in, the official records, my research, and Retro Sheets database. First of all, acknowledgments. Steve Ellsbury for providing me with run scored information from his complete collection of baseball encyclopedias. Tom Ruane for going through all the data that that I collected. Dave Smith for coming up with a critical run scored information from the Retro Sheet Vault. And Dixie Tarangio for some run scored information from the 1910 Spalding guys and Reach guide. And I guess most importantly, past, present, and future Retro Sheet volunteers. They truly are baseball research enablers, and I truly do thank them all the time, rightfully so. Okay, most runs scored in the American League 1909, according to the official records that were generated in 1909 at the end of the season. Ty Cobb of the Tigers had the most, led the American League with 116. His teammate, Donnie Bush, came in second with 114. Eddie Collins had 104, a distant third. And Harry Lord had 89, a much more distant fourth. According to the various encyclopedias and internet sites, the same information is provided there. It's there right now. Cobb, 116, Bush, 114, Collins, 104, and Lord, 89. You go to the Elias Book of Baseball Records. Through the 2002 edition, it also shows Cobb with 116. It does not show who finished second, third, or fourth. But since 2003, Cobb is shown as the leader with 115 runs scored. So Elias, for the 2003 edition, Elias changed Cobb's run scored number from 116 to 115. But no explanation was given, at least that I could find. Then there's my research. My research uncovered a math error in Cobb's official records. When you add up in the official record sheets, he had 71 runs, scored one run in the game, and then had 73 runs total, one too many. And so I would presume that Elias eventually found the same error, and that's why they changed it to 115. My research also discovered transcription errors in the official records for Donnie Bush and Charlie O'Leary. This happened in the game on August 27th. Officially, Bush scored three runs and O'Leary scored one run. In actuality, Bush scored four runs and O'Leary scored zero runs. So for the season, for their full season, Bush actually scored 115 runs and O'Leary scored 28 runs, not 29. My research has been accepted by Retro Sheet. If you go to their box score file or their player daily file, you'll see that the August 27th game shows the correct number of runs scored, four for Bush, zero for O'Leary. Complete information is available in the June issue of the Inside Game. That's the newsletter of the 19th century, I'm sorry, Dead Ball Era Committee. I've also passed this information on to Pete Palmer. I'm confident that he'll make a change in his database at the end of the season, and so it should eventually show up on Baseball Reference and also the Retro Sheet profile pages. I've also passed it along to Seymour Seawolf and Steve Hurt at Elias. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but we'll find out in the next edition of the Elias Baseball Book of Baseball Records. Okay. Runs batted in. the Elias Book of Baseball Records, the runs batted in title. It has the parenthetical comment or statement, since 1920, prior seasons not compiled on official scores. So RBIs from Elias's perspective are the official records, which begin in 1920. This is important to me because I happen to have a fascination with consecutive games, runs batted in streaks. The National League record, the Major League record, from 1920 forward is 17 by Ray Grimes of the 1922 Chicago Cubs. That was discovered by Seymour Seawolf many years ago. And 14 is the American League record by Tris Speaker of the Philadelphia Athletics. This was discovered by Trent McCotter some years ago. But there are unknowns for me anyway. What's the longest consecutive games run batted in, which I call C. Grunby streak, okay? It's just a simple way to not repeat longest consecutive games run batted in. Before 1920, so what is it? And most importantly for me, what is the longest C. Grunby streak by a Detroit Tigers player prior to 1920? Well, that's actually pretty easy to do now. You just go to RetroSheet, you go to the box score file or the player daily file, and you just look. You just go down the list. And you see all the RBIs, and you can see which ones are in consecutive games. Except there's some problems. For instance, the game in 1909, the game on May 11th, the Tigers beat the New York Highlanders 16-5, but there's no RBI numbers in the box score. None at all. And this is not a unique situation. For the first 23 games, you can see there's a lot of blanks in the RBI column. And just summarizing, for the first 23 games, there's more than half of the games are missing RBIs. For the entire season, over a third, 66 of the 158 games, had no RBI data. So what do you do about it? Well, you get it. You get the RBI information, and you get that by going to the newspapers. So this is for the second inning when the Tigers scored four runs in that game. I have the account for that second inning from the Detroit Free Press, Detroit News, and the Detroit Times. And from that, I can get the RBI information. The New York Herald, Press, Sun, Times, Tribune, World, no information at all. That's not surprising because it's an out-of-town game from the New York newspaper standpoint. And there's also 16 runs scored by the Tigers, so they're not going to cover everything. When I get this information from the newspaper accounts, I tabulate it, and such as this. I tell you when the run is scored, who scored the run, what's the run scoring event, and the batter who batted during the run scoring event, who therefore could be credited with an RBI. I then provide all this information to Tom Ruane and Dave Smith. They check it over, particularly Tom, and there you see. We've now filled in the RBIs for all of the players on the game that had nothing before. Now I do the missing games, but like a good scientist, anything that if someone reports something in science in a technical journal, it has to be repeatable. Otherwise, it's worthless. Okay, so I actually do this for every Tigers game, get all the information, and I compare the RBI results with what's in RetroSheet. And in terms of 1909, there were 14 games where there were discrepancies between what I said were RBI numbers and what was in the RetroSheet, on the RetroSheet box score file. I present the same information, the data, to Tom Ruane and Dave, and they go through it, and we end up with 100% agreement. Sometimes I'm not right. Sometimes they're not right. Regardless, we get 100% agreement. Also, there's errors in the home run log. Nice to think that it's perfect, but it's not. And for 1909, there were three games where there were RBI errors associated with the home runs that were hit. I also pass this along to Tom and Dave, and then this gets transferred over to Sabre for their home run log. So when this is all done, Now you see, we have filled in all the RBI blanks and for the 1909 season here. And when you have, and these are all documented. I mean, we can substantiate every one of the RBI numbers here with play-by-play for the RBIs. So therefore, when you add them all up, you get accurate RBI numbers. And here's what we get for 1909. The left-hand column has RBIs according to David S. Neff's research. Those are the RBIs that were put in the Big Mac. And those are the RBI numbers that Pete Palmer used in his database, which went to Total Baseball, which went to ESPN Baseball Encyclopedia, and which is on Baseball Reference, and also the retro sheet profile pages for the players. And you can see Neff's numbers and my numbers are not in agreement for most of the players. 29 players are there for the Tigers. We disagree on all but nine, and the nine that we agree on, most of those players had either zero or one or two RBIs. So, you know, easy to agree on something like that. This is not a unique year. The Tigers actually, from 1907 through 1919, in the dead ball era, led the American League in RBIs, had a player lead the American League in RBIs nine times. And here's a comparison of my research versus Neff's research, also versus Ernie Lanigan's research. Lanigan's research is, his RBI numbers are not easy to come by. The leadership ones are, and as you can see, Lanigan's numbers and Neff's numbers do not agree at all, and most of the numbers do not agree with mine. Now, what's the most striking aspect of this chart? Well, I'll tell you, it's the range of RBIs in the RBIs HERM column. So I have Bobby Veach with 110 to 114 RBIs. What the heck is it? I mean, he didn't bat in a range, he batted in a number, right? And I'll tell you why that is the case in a moment. But first, I want to mention the main objective of my research is to find out the longest C. Grunby streak for the Tigers, and this is it what I found so far from 1919 through 1906. I've already done 1906, for 1909, Cobb had a nine-game streak of RBI batting an RBI, at least one RBI in each game. That's the second most on the Tigers in this period. Jim Delahanty also had a nine-game streak in 1911. The longest so far I've found is Sam Crawford's 11-game streak in 1910. Now, and you can see here there are a few players with ranges of RBIs. Here's why. Some accounts of a game will say the Tigers scored two runs when players A, B, C, D singled in succession. That's it. So, A and B scored, but did C drive in A and then D drive in B? Or did A, B, C single to load the bases and D drove in both A and B? Don't know. So, in my case, I put down a range. It can be zero or one or two, depending on the particular player. Retrosheet will leave the RBIs for that player, perhaps even that game, blank, and then in the player daily file, there will be a blank for that game for that player, and so you won't have the total. They won't on the player daily file. The player profile page will have what Pete Palmer has. Okay. Now, a couple slides to finish up here. This is the American League games without RBIs in a retrosheet box score file. It says current. I got this from Tom Ruane a week or so ago. The left-hand column gives you the AL for each year, excluding Detroit Tigers. Okay, I lift that out entirely. And you can see there are 2,300 games that need RBI information from 1907 through 1919. That's a lot. The St. Louis Browns, Cleveland Indians, and Philadelphia Phillies, Athletics, need over 500 each. So there's anybody who wants to get involved in finding out the RBIs for those teams or players on those teams, boy, you can get a lot done. Just for the Tigers, I'm happy to say that what would have been 732 numbers or games without RBIs is now only 24. So we've done a great job. It's been a great collaboration. And this is where the retro sheet volunteers come into play, because they've helped a lot. Now, if you're a National League fan, there are less games to have to do, only 1,600 for all eight teams. Cincinnati, Philadelphia, and St. Louis are high, so those are easy ones to get to reduce. As a way of, inspiring you, there are 10 National League seasons in the dead ball era where the RBI leader and the second place finisher are three RBIs or less. And knowing what I've shown you from the Detroit Tigers, comparing my numbers, real numbers or actual numbers, RBI numbers, with what NEFT has, there's likely to be some changes there. I've already shown that there's been a change in 1912 with Heinie Zimmerman actually winning the Triple Crown in 1912 and not Honus Wagner winning the RBI title. Okay, that's it for the first game of the doubleheader. I'll take any questions, but I want to get on to the second game as quickly as I can. Great.